Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord, many of us in this room can say, I've got Jesus. What else do I need? I don't need anything else. And so, Lord, we thank you for the joy that comes in knowing Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to sing and rejoice in the Lord and sing praise to your name. You alone are worthy of our praise, Lord Jesus, and we honor you today. Lord, we pray for those who are a part of our church and here this morning who are living in hard times, sadness because of life situations. May the joy of the Lord take hold of them and raise them up. We pray for others who are living in a happy season. May they experience the joy of the Lord. Raise them up. And Lord, more than anything else, make sure that we have been willing to commit ourselves to you. So we pray for those who are here who don't know Jesus, so that they can say like the psalm, I don't need anything else because I've got Jesus. We pray today that you would bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, if you're a guest, I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored you're here and would love to meet you outside Guest Central. Come by and say hello to me and my wife, Pat. We'd love to do that. These days, we're talking about the secrets of joy, not happiness. Happiness is based on happenings in our life where some days we're happy, some days we're so sad, but we're talking about the joy of the Lord. We've described the joy of the Lord as delight, calm delight that we have that's on the inside. It's a spiritual emotion. So it's something that you want to think about that has to do with what God gives us. He gives us joy. Sometimes it's part of what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, tenderheartedness. Against these things, you don't need law. So God gives us joy. How do we maintain our joy? How do we grow in our understanding of joy? Well, that's what we want to talk about. So in Philippians chapter 3, we've been going through this book. Paul is a prisoner. He's having a hard time. He's writing to his friends at the church at what's called Philippi. That's why they're called Philippians. And Paul knew these people well, and he talks to them. He gives them his story. And this is what I've been trying to do with us these last few weeks. Let's read and hear how Paul could be so joyous in such a hard situation. He was expressing the joy of the Lord. So I call these the secrets of joy. So if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, here it is again, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again to you is no trouble, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who, notice, those of us who are truly God's people, we worship in the Spirit of God. Second, we glory in Christ Jesus. And third, we don't put our confidence in the flesh, in our abilities. Although I myself may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Now these verses that we're coming to now are the focus for today. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Paul's testimony is a challenge to us to live in the joy that You have given us by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we raise our hand and we say, Lord, I cannot find joy in the situation I'm in. Lord, help us to understand we must rejoice in You. Joy comes as we rejoice in You, Lord Jesus, and we rejoice in all You've done for us. May joy fill the hearts and minds of all of these dear people who are here today. May they experience the love of God and the joy of Jesus if they know You as Lord and Savior and they're born again. And we pray for our friends who are here who are not born again, that they might see the need to come to Jesus, to be saved, so that they might experience real joy, permanent, calm delight, no matter what the situation and circumstances of life may bring. So teach us from Your word today and help us to understand the joy of losing and gaining. The joy of losing and gaining as You teach us from Your word, and may my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So today the secret of joy is the joy of losing and gaining. I want you to go back in your Bible for a minute now in this text, and I want to point out some words that are going to be very important for us before we get into the outline, and we'll make a couple of observations and then we'll go our way. First of all, in verse number 7, before we get to these points I want to make, notice these words, gain, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss. Paul uses three words here that I want us to think about today. And all of us are very familiar with these words because the world teaches us how to measure gains and losses. In fact, you know, you can imagine this is a ledger sheet, right? So on the ledger sheet, you know, maybe you have some major decision to make in your life. Well, we're all trained to put a plus sign on one side of the sheet and a minus sign on the other. The plus means these are advantages. These are things that I gain from making this decision. And the minus sign with a line down the middle represents the things that might not be good, the losses that I might experience from making this decision. We do it in business. We do it in our personal life. We all do this all the time. We evaluate whether something is going to give gain, bring gain, or whether it's going to bring loss in our life. So we count gains and we count losses. I'm not talking about counting by numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4. The word counting here is the idea to rely, to make a decision based on what we've done in our evaluation. Well, one of the joys that Paul talks about here sounds a little strange to our world. See, the world says this, if you get it and you gain it, you keep it and you hold on to it. If you gain it, you keep it. You hold on to it. But the Lord teaches us, and Paul now is testifying, he's telling his story of what he learned. He's a prisoner. He's got shackles on his hands and his feet. He's not in a good place. He's all by himself. He's having a hard time, but there's joy coming out of his life. Why is that? Because Paul understood the secret of joy in losing in order to gain. Losing in order to gain. It's not the world's way. The world's way is you gain it, you keep gaining. You want to avoid as many losses as you can. No, the reality is you have to lose in order to gain. And the joy of Jesus is tied to losing and gaining in some very specific ways. And that's what I want us to talk about today. So what are you, let me just ask you today, what are you counting on in your life? Before we get into this outline, you know, what are you counting on today? You know, somebody said to me last week, well, you know, I'm counting on this job to last me until I retire, somebody said to me the other day. But we don't really know how jobs work today. Well, I'm counting on that my kids will do X, Y, Z. Okay, well, how's that working for you with your kids? I'm counting on my husband to do those jobs he's been promising to do. How's that working for you, counting on him to get that done? We all count on some things. We count on some things. What are you counting on? What we mean by that in our language, in our English ways of using these words, we're counting on something. It's the point of we're relying on this. We're depending on this as a gain, as a plus for our lives. Well, Paul describes gaining and losing around joy. He says, in fact, again, in verse number 1, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord who has saved you. Rejoice in the Lord who protects you. Rejoice in the Lord who is with you. Rejoice in the Lord who provides for you. Rejoice in the Lord who speaks to you. Rejoice in the Lord who never leaves you or forsakes you. Rejoice in the Lord along with the rest of God's people. Do you hear me? Rejoice in the Lord. Tell your neighbors right now, rejoice in the Lord. Go ahead and tell your neighbor. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Yes, we come to rejoice, not in our circumstances, not in all this plus and minus work we do, not in our job. We don't rejoice in all these things. We rejoice in the Lord. And when you rejoice in the Lord, church, listen, this is so important. This is the principle over and over. When you have calm delight in the Lord and you rejoice in the Lord, joy rises in your soul. It rises in your mind. Joy comes even when you're in heartache and pain. You have joy. You have a delight in the Lord in the midst of all of your problems. So I say to you as we begin, as you're counting out everything in life, what are you counting on? I hope you're counting on the Lord. I hope you're counting on God to come through. So we learn the first secret of joy. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you is going to finish it. What God starts in you, he finishes. Then we learn the second secret of joy. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and oh, here he says it, and to die, same word, is gain. It's gain. When Jesus is at the center of my life, whether I'm living or dying, it's all good. And then we learned last week from Paul in Philippians 2:17, I'm being poured out. I'm being poured out like a drink offering in sacrificial service to other people. Joy rises when I give my life away to other people, when I pour myself out in the name of Jesus for others to do what I can do to help them come to find the Lord. Joy comes through these, and now we discover joy comes when we open our hands and let things go and people go, when we understand losses and gains from God's point of view. All right, with all that said, first of all, let's see this. Paul says, number one, rejoice in the Lord. And here's the way I describe what he's saying in verse 7. Everything else is loss, but following Christ. All right, take your Bible again. Look at verse 7. Whatever things were gained to me. Look what Paul said. Here are the things that Paul said were gained to him. It was his past. It was his heritage. It was his background. It was his experience. Look at this, verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day, nation of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, a religious man. He had zeal. He persecuted the church before he was born again. As to righteousness, which is in the law, he was found blameless. He doesn't mean he was perfect, but he means he was living a moral life. He was seeking to live morally by the law of God. Are you listening this morning? Look, all of those things didn't matter when you read verse number 7, the last phrase. I counted all these things loss for the sake of Christ. Now, we use that language for the sake of a lot in our speaking, in our talking. For the sake of my family, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. For the sake of my country, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. For the sake of my job, for the sake of my friend, for the sake of. This is in our language all the time. What does that mean? It means for the purpose of. I'm doing what I'm doing because of this purpose. Now read that with this in mind. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted, I've counted them off. I don't count on those things that were gained to me in the past for the sake of Christ. And what is it that's at the purpose of Christ? It's to learn to follow Him. Jesus said, Matthew 16, 25, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. If you try to hold on to it, if you try to go your own way, if you try to do what you can do for God, but you won't count, you won't come to the Lord. If you do it on your own, whoever tries to save his life, listen to the words of Jesus. They sound like a contradiction, but this is the way. This is the joy of loss that leads to gain. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Listen. Some people say to me, well, if I follow the Lord Jesus, I'm not going to have much of a life. Friend, you have no idea what kind of life you really will find. You have to lose your old way of life to find the real life. And it's found in Jesus. So you rejoice when you follow Jesus. We say to this church all the time, it's our mission. If you're a guest with us, we put it on the front of this sheet that we give out every week. Our mission is to follow Jesus. The old hymn, wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. We sing the hymn, we're going to follow Jesus. No turning back, I want to know today. Do you know the joy of following Jesus? That means you're going to go wherever He wants you to go. It happened to the disciples all the time. They would be with Jesus in the crowd and the people would be coming and people were excited and Jesus would say, okay, time's up. We're going to get on the boat and we're going to go over there. Well, why are we going over there? We're going to go to a desert place where there's nobody. We're going to get away from this crowd. They followed Jesus to lonely places. They followed Jesus into the crowd. They followed Jesus when He was mocked and ridiculed. They followed Jesus when He did miracles. I'm asking you today, do you know the joy of following Jesus? A man came and saw me this week and he's been through a lot in his life and some things have happened in his family, had a death in his family, and he came and saw me and he said, look, I have believed in Jesus for all these years. I've been born again. Listen to this. He said, but I haven't been a serious follower of Jesus. And I'm now ready to seriously follow Jesus. And you know what? In the pain he was going through, I saw joy start rising in this man. You got to follow Jesus. He may not let you stay in Dixon. He may not let you keep the job you have. He may move you somewhere else. Jesus is on the move. You see, following somebody means he's moving around. He's going somewhere. He's doing something. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Everything else is loss. You see, the Lord says, okay, we're going to go over here. Well, but Lord, I want to keep all this stuff with me. No, you can't take all that. We're going to go over here. Leave it all here. You got to let it go. Second thing I want you to see this morning is that we rejoice in the Lord and everything else is worthless. So Paul says, more than this, verse 8, more than this, I count all things to be loss because I found something more valuable. The surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Don't miss this in your Bible, church. He says something very important here. I count all things lost because I found something of value. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them rubbish, like trash. This is worthless. I'm throwing this out. so that I may gain him. Verse 7 was that we might do it for the sake of Christ, following him. But now to gain Christ, to gain a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning, joy comes when you follow Jesus, and joy comes the better you get to know Jesus. When you know somebody, you love them more and more. So people here, we have a Bible study and Sunday school for adults and children. And the point of it is you can't get to know people in this big room. I mean, we've been in here for 2 hours with lots and lots of people, had a bunch of people at 8 o'clock over there in the conference. You can't get to know people in a big room. And so we use Bible study and these group times to get together so people can know each other. You know, when you know somebody, you appreciate them better. You get to know who they are. You know how to pray for them. You know what's going on in their family. You can help them. You can care for one another. You know them. There's great value in getting to know somebody. That's what we always talk about. Somebody will say somebody's name and you'll go, "Well, I don't know them." Ah, but do you know Jesus today? No, I'm not talking about just knowing what the Bible says about Jesus and having a knowledge of Jesus because you've heard it from the preacher, you've heard it in the teacher, you've read it in the Bible. Do you know Jesus? You see, the joy that comes in life is in knowing Jesus. And when you sit with Jesus, when you have a relationship with the Lord, it makes all the difference. All these songs have been coming to my mind. You know, it's the whole thing about living for Jesus, walking with the Lord. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. You see, Jesus walks with His people. Jesus speaks with us. He leads us by the Holy Spirit to go a certain direction. And He also teaches us His love, His care, His grace, His humility, His kindness, His forgiveness, His sacrifice for us, His promises that He's coming again. Do you know Jesus? Listen, I want you to know the secret of joy. The secret of joy, you can count on this. You'll have joy when you follow Jesus. The world's going to say, "You're crazy to do that." One of our men came not long ago and was talking to me and said, "It's time for me to move out of these businesses, and I don't know what God wants me to do, but the Lord's telling me to do it." Why, when everybody got their ledger out, they said, "Wait a minute, haven't you done all the valuations here, the pluses and minuses? Why are you doing that? You don't know what you're going to do." "No, it's time for me to go. The Lord's told me to do it." No turning back, no reserves, no regrets. I'm going to go do what the Lord tells me to do. I'm following Jesus. And the joy was rising in this man. You could see it. You could feel it. Remember, we've talked about joy. You can feel joy in somebody else. There's joy in following Jesus. You can count on that. And there's joy in knowing Jesus. It makes everything else worth like trash. Of all these toys and all this stuff we've got, it doesn't matter. When I come to know the Lord and my relationship deepens with Him, I want to spend more time with Jesus and less time on some of these silly things that I have occupied myself with. I want to be with Him. There's one last thing. Now that's the lost side. Then Paul says in verse 9, "that I may know Him and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness from God." The third principle is this. Listen, when you live for the Lord, you experience joy. There is joy in living for Jesus. I'm following Him. I'm gaining knowledge and knowing Him in my relationship with Him. And now I'm living for Him. I'm living for Him and I'm loving it. Verse 9, I live by faith. I live by faith in Jesus. He's not here where we can see Him with our eyes, but we love Him. We follow Him. We trust Him. We believe in Him as our Lord and Savior. And we have a new righteousness that's not our own, Paul says in verse 9, which has been given to us. It's the basis of our spiritual life, and the religious experience that we've had is based on our faith in Jesus. But then he says, "I want to be found in Him. I want to be found in Him. I want to live my life so Jesus-centered when I go to work, Jesus is working. When I go home, Jesus goes to the house. When I go to be with my friends, Jesus goes to be with my friends. I want to be found in Him. Jesus and me, me and Jesus, I want to be found in Him. When I'm out there, I'm there with Him. I'm living for Jesus and He is living through me. And the joy of that is that power comes. Look at this. He says in verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What I believe Paul's saying here is I want to experience in my life the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want that same power. I want to experience that in my life, however long it is, however short it is, that I may be found in Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to suffer with Jesus. Now joy says, I'm going to suffer with Jesus. I don't mind being misunderstood and somebody name calling me out in the world because I follow Jesus and I trust the Lord. And I say to people that the only way to be saved is through Jesus. I don't mind if somebody ridicules me if I sit down at work or I'm at school or somewhere and I read my Bible. I don't mind if I'm ridiculed. I'm not doing it to be seen, but I am going to do it to be a follower of Jesus. I don't mind if somebody if the boss moves past me and gives somebody else the promotion because he thinks I'm some kind of a Jesus crazy person. I'm going to suffer with Jesus while I live on this. I'm not going to avoid it. I'm going to suffer with Him. And then Paul says, finally, he says, I want to be ready for the resurrection. I want to be ready for the resurrection of the dead. So this week, three times this last week, I stood in the graveyard. I'm never going to hide this stuff from you. Somebody said to me, Pastor Mike, you know, it's depressing when you talk about people dying. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. What, you want me to pretend like nobody dies? No, I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. Unless Jesus comes, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. One man 51 years old, one man 58 years old, one man 80 years old at the graveside, putting their body in the ground. Why do we do such a thing? Because we believe in the resurrection of the dead when Jesus comes again. Those bodies come back. They come out of the grave. They're put back together powerfully, supernaturally by God, every person being that unique person, joined again to their spirit. And the resurrection of the dead takes place. We wait for the resurrection of the dead. Oh, there's more to come. Next week you're going to see this when we talk about joy. Paul's going to talk about living and dying. What's really the best? What should I do? Where should I go? What is it all about? But today I end by asking you this. What are you counting on today? What are you counting on? I hate to tell you, if you count on the government, that may not work so good for you. If you count for some friend to come through for you, they may get sick and not be able to come. Who are you counting on? What are you counting on? What is it that you want in your life that will bring... See, when we add up the pluses and minuses in the world system, it's all about being happy. If there are more pluses on the page than minuses on the page, we can be happy. But I'm talking about joy. Joy comes when you follow Jesus. Oh, some of you need to get more serious about following Jesus. Pastor Mike, what does that look like? That's what we do here. That's what we do here. That's what we do in disciple life. That's what we do in Sunday school. That's what we do in our time together. We unpack the boxes and all the stuff around what does it look like to follow Jesus. That's what we're learning to do. When you follow Jesus, there's joy. Oh, it rises. When you follow Jesus and you know Him, and you grow in your relationship, joy rises. Because you know what you start saying? I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what goes on in this world. Doesn't matter what anybody says. I am with the Lord and the Lord is with me. And oh, by the way, joy rises when you live for Jesus. You experience the power of God in your life. You suffer alongside Jesus and you're ready to live or ready to die. So what are you counting on today? You counting on your health? You counting on your smarts? You counting on your family? No. The only joy that comes, the only way you can have joy is to do what Paul said, chapter 3, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. And follow Him. And grow in your knowledge of Him. And live with Him. To do what He wants you to do in this world. We say it all the time. Be Jesus to somebody. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. You're a great group. Thanks for listening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So what's the Lord saying to you this morning? Joy comes when you follow Jesus. Joy comes in your knowledge of and having a relationship with Jesus. Joy comes when you live for Jesus and not for yourself. Not for somebody else. That's where joy comes from. Some of you say this morning, Pastor Mike, I don't have any joy in my life. All right, if you're a Christian here this morning, joy comes when you delight yourself in the Lord and you rejoice in the Lord. Maybe you've been focused on the wrong thing, friend. That's why your joy's gone. The Holy Spirit will give you that joy, but you got to look to Jesus. You got to delight yourself in the Lord, and every one of us has got to do it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me, but I can share my joy. You can feel it, and I can feel it when we have joy in the Lord. Some of you here today need to step forward and say, look, it's time for me to get serious in my relationship with God and start following Jesus. Some of us in this room need to say, it's time for me to gain a deeper knowledge of knowing Jesus. Some of us in this room need to say, I've got to start living for Jesus, a life that is true. Please Him in all that I do. And some of you need to say, I don't know Jesus, but I need to follow Him and trust Him as my Lord and Savior. Well, that's where it starts. So are you here, boys and girls, students, adults, somebody here in the balcony or below, and you need Jesus? If you'll come in just a moment, even if you don't know what to do, but you feel something inside drawing you and stirring you to know more, come and let our pastors help you and say, here's what you do next. Here's how you follow Jesus. Some of you who've trusted Christ, you've never been baptized as a disciple of Jesus. You need to come and do that. Others of you don't have a place to belong. You don't have a church. We're not perfect here, but we invite you to come belong with us. You belong somewhere. Maybe it's time for you to join up. Get with some other people. Connect with them and belong. And allow the joy of the Lord to rise in your life. Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You for Paul's story. Lord, forgive me when I'm holding on to the gains and I don't want to lose. Forgive me when I'm trying to keep and save my life instead of lose it for You so that I can really find life. May my friends who are here this morning do their business with You today, speak to their hearts. During this invitation, give people courage to publicly make the decisions they need to make. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.